I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. In a few minutes, my commentary on why the Tea Party and the NAACP should get together. I hope you're intrigued. But first, we open up the pages of the Washington Post magazine, which we do just about every week to find interesting stories about the way we live now. And today we find out about a state attorney general whose bold moves are catching the eye of conservative activists across the country. More than a dozen states' attorneys have joined forces to sue the federal government to stop the recently passed health care overhaul bill. Virginia's Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli, a Republican, is one of them. And he's going it alone, arguing that his state, in fact, has a special law that prohibits the federal government from mandating that people buy insurance, a controversial requirement set forth in the bill. Cuccinelli's stance on health care and a number of other conservative causes have thrust him onto the national stage, turning him into a hero of the Tea Party movement, among others. But as writer David Montgomery found out, Cuccinelli has arrived at his place in the conservative spotlight by a rather unusual path. So David Montgomery joins us now in our Washington, D.C. studio to tell us more. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you for having me.
And it turns out that there's actually some news about the suit. Can you tell us what it is?
Sure. Earlier today, we learned that Cuccinelli has won round one of his landmark health care lawsuit. The United States government had tried to get the judge to dismiss it immediately because the government argued Virginia had no standing and that Cuccinelli's arguments were so thin they had no chance of prevailing. But the judge today said that he's going to let the lawsuit go forward. Now, we're not going to hear arguments on the actual merits until October.
Oh, interesting. So there, round one goes to Cuccinelli.
Round
so there
one,
you
Cuccinelli.
Go. So let's talk about how he got there. I just want to play a clip from a video that Cuccinelli posted on his website. This is from what he billed as a webcast town hall, during which he outlines the reasons why he's fighting the federal health care law. Here it is.
We've heard of growing the economic pie. Ronald Reagan really introduced us to that concept. I talk to people about the liberty pie. There's two slices, government and us, the people. And unlike the economic pie, which can grow if we have good economic policies that encourage that, the liberty pie stays the same size. And every time taxes go up and spending goes up and there's more regulation and legislation dictating how we live our lives and run our businesses, the power of government expands, and it's a zero-sum game for liberty.
Now, of course, we've heard this. This is not exactly a radically different philosophy from what many people will find in the modern-day Republican Party, but what you found out, what's interesting about Ken Cuccinelli is very often the rap on Republicans is that they have no idea what they're talking about because they've never been down here where everybody else is, and they've never experienced these things, and it isn't real to them. And you found out that the health care issue in particular is very real to Ken Cuccinelli. You said during his childhood, his mother became seriously ill, which dealt a major financial blow to his family, something that happened to a lot of people. His father was, there was a gap. He was ended one job, hadn't yet started another, so insurance hadn't yet kicked in. The family was very seriously affected financially by this. And as you point out in the piece, health care reform would have potentially solved that problem for the Cuccinelli family. And so what does he say to that?
Yeah, I was stunned. He let that slip in an interview almost in passing. We had this health care gap, and it almost bankrupted our family. And I said, wait a minute, isn't that exactly the problem that the Democrats' health care plan would solve? And that this would have been back in the 70s, I believe. If this law had been in place then, your family would have been set. You would have been covered. There's no pre-existing condition bar. And he said, well, that's true. But he says that his family, he and his family and his parents preferred to go through that hardship of 6 months of paying hospital bills out of their own pockets rather than, as he says, in the same kind of liberty rhetoric that he uses today, rather than, you know, impinging on the freedom of other Americans. He thinks this health care, we can talk about it later, but certain elements of the health care law will infringe on the freedom of Americans, which is one of the main reasons he's fighting it.
But he also supports more mental health care. Explain that.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I think the headline writers called him the confounding conservative. I was fascinated that he going way back to his teenage years, he has this what progressives call a social justice instinct. And there are certain subjects where he tacks to, I wouldn't say tacking to the left, but he tacks in directions that might surprise conservatives. Mental health is one. As a young lawyer, he would take these practically pro bono cases of families in crisis and they had to be represented by a lawyer before a state board. He did hundreds of these things right up to the day he was sworn in as attorney general, because at that point it would become a conflict of interest. And each case was a window into families in desperate struggles. And ever since, when he got to the state legislature, every year he would put in bills in certain ways trying to reform Virginia's health care laws and finding ways that the government could provide more relief than families had been previously getting.
And how does he explain that?
He says that, you know, there is a role for government, and he says that, you know, and he likes to make that role very minimal. But within his minimalism, he says one of the places government ought to act is for those, and this is his phrase, those who through no fault of their own can't take care of themselves, which may be a big asterisk how you define those through no fault of their own. But he places folks with mental health problems within that category, and he thinks there's a role for government to help them out.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli, who many see as a rising star in national politics. Our guest is writer David Montgomery, who profiled Cuccinelli in the latest Washington Post magazine. You talked about, in fact, you opened the piece with a very interesting story about how he kind of got his start as an activist. I mean, he came across in college when he kind of presented himself as kind of typical frat boy, forgive me, frat boys, but just, you know, frat boy, not terribly interested in anything other than partying and hanging out. But there was a transforming experience that he had that kind of changed his profile on campus. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this was really interesting to me. I stumbled on it. He's never talked about it before. And that was while he was at the University of Virginia. One summer he was renting a group home with a bunch of other men and women. And he was doing his calculus homework late at night, and in the room next door to his, he hears this long, long scream, and it's the woman who was also one of the renters, and apparently a man an intruder had broken through her window and was climbing onto her bed, and she kicked him away and ran upstairs, and it was sort of a traumatic experience for all involved. The man was never caught, and Cuccinelli becomes this activist on the problem of sexual assault on campus. He, parallel to that, he's becoming a residential advisor and hearing of stories of date rape and date assault. And he's on the Judiciary Committee, they call it, at the University of Virginia. And he's hearing these anecdotes of this silent problem, unspoken of problem. So he, the conservative seeming frat boy, he rushed a frat, he didn't end up joining, collaborates, becomes an ally of the feminists who are over at the Women's Center.
Because their argument has been that this crime is not taken seriously, that the sexual violence directed toward women is just not taken seriously in the college context. And apparently this has been one of his abiding issues. No one more surprised than the campus feminists when this became such an issue for him that he was actually more aggressive in some ways than some of them were.
And the fact that he's male, too, frankly, uh-huh. It's difficult to get men to take it seriously, and he got it apparently right away. I interviewed some of his co-activists, one woman in particular who helped organize this vigil where they essentially occupied the main ceremonial space in the University of Virginia. They didn't take it over and block other people from getting there, but they stood there for 134 hours, which was a symbolic number at the time. That was the number of sexual assaults alleged at the UVA campus the year before, and they held candles. And their demand was that UVA create the position of sexual assault education coordinator, and they won. Now that person is still in the job.
No, it's interesting because I'm wondering what the through line here is, because another attention-getting issue of his is that one of his first moves as attorney general was to curtail anti-discrimination protection for gays in the state's university system. Virginia's Governor Bob McDonnell essentially had to reverse course on that. And so people kind of wonder, what's the through line here? Is it that if he sort of decides that something's right or wrong, he takes action? What did you see? Was there a theme to that pudding?
I think there is a theme. He didn't have to get to the point of deciding whether homosexuality is right or wrong. He happens to believe his understanding of Catholicism is that homosexuality is wrong. But in this case, where he advised all of the public universities and colleges in Virginia that they could not ban discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation is firmly embedded in Virginia law. The General Assembly, filled with Democrats and Republicans, has never had the bravery or whatever, has never seen fit to classify sexual orientation as a protected class in Virginia. And so Cuccinelli could just point to precedent and the lack of action by the General Assembly and say, hey, you can't create that protected class.
Well, so just to sort of tie a bow on it, David, it's a very interesting piece. I hope people will read it. It's called, his piece is titled Mr. Right, The Rise of the Confounding Conservative, for all the reasons that you've told us. But a lot of people who follow politics will feel that they've heard this story before, kind of bright young star comes onto the scene, wants to re-energize his or her party, and then for some never really makes it on the national level. Somebody, for some reason, people don't, they play well at home, don't play well sort of nationally. Are there any clues? And it's obviously very early in his term, but what are the clues about whether Ken Cuccinelli can, his particular brand of politics will play well beyond Virginia, people were considering a purple state. They said it's gone from being a red state to being more of a purple state, yeah, as evidenced by the fact that Obama did actually fairly well there.
I think
far better than expected.
There's two important facets to answer that. I call him sort of the Mr. Smith of the right wing. He has this idealistic projection and this also uncompromising projection, which his fans love. But then you say, well, but how? Without being a compromiser, how can you have success in politics? At the same time, he doesn't take himself too seriously. Sort of on a personal one-on-one level, even his detractors or Democrats are surprised that here's a guy who's you can talk to. And I think he kept winning in Northern Virginia, the most liberal part of the state. And I think that's because he could get along with a wide range of voters.
What's next for him? Any idea?
He claims he just wants to be attorney general because he can be the watchdog of the U.S. Constitution from there. So we'll see.
Heard that before. David Montgomery is a writer for The Washington Post. His profile of Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli is in this week's Washington Post magazine. If you want to read the piece, and we hope you will, we'll have a link to it on our page. Just visit the Tell Me More page at npr.org. David, thanks so much for joining us.
It's been great to be here, Michelle.